Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I am the table! I am the table! I am the table! I am the table!
Welcome back to Talk of the Table. I am the magnificent Matt Willis. I am joined, as always, by the man who has more podcast appearances under his belt than I can't make that comment even on a X-rated podcast. So we got Mags instead,
but with less proven actual podcasts, as proven on View from the Top Rope this week.
We'll get to that later. And seeing as how we've got a prince of podcasts, we've also got the Lordship. He is with us. Lord Conrad of Newington, how are you, sir?
I am good. Is that going to be like my new intro now?
We'll see how long it gets boring. Although, I will say right now, Mag is almost curtsying, so that's saying something. To be fair, I used to think I was a podcast prince at one point. I'm being completely overrun by someone who has enough podcasts to be on a network and someone who runs a network on this show.
Yeah, that's but you're now like an overlord with the amount that you actually produce. You're like the Simon Cowell of podcasting. You haven't got a broken back.
I am sure we'll get to that later, Mags, I'm sure. But we're going to start things off with Conrad. Talk at the table, buddy.
Oh, I'm very underprepared this week. I've kind of dwindled between some college starting up and stuff. But yes, wrestling. I'm going to go with a simple one. G1 blocks are announced this week.
I've got it down on my list, but I knew it would be your number one.
Yeah, it's a lot to... I'm very excited about this year because we're getting a lot of good stuff. We're getting just the first two nights alone, and they look absolutely stellar on paper. I'm really hoping that they deliver. And it's just, you know, like that kind of feeling of like pure excitement. It's like Christmas for wrestling fans in like October, and it's the best feeling. It's so good. I'm so excited. But
yeah, and it's stacked as well. That's what got me to say we're in this like pandemic era, and they kind of had to bodge together the New Japan Cup. This is a stacked G1 blockings.
Yeah, especially I've seen a lot of people going about the A block and how it's got like all those big names, but then I feel that people are kind of overlooking the B block, and you've got Kenta and Evil Sanada, Naito and Tanahashi on night one of B block, and I am, it's going to be great.
So who have you got as like your initial picks to win the blocks?
I've got Jay for block A, and I've got Sanada beats Evil on last night of B block to get a tiebreak win. But now looking at the last night of A block, I'm thinking it's going to be between Billy Boy Blacklister and Okada, because that's like your big last night match. So I think I reckon it could be Okada Sanada, but I'm hoping not.
I've got a feeling, especially with his with him doing so well in the US tournament. I've got a feeling Kenta may surprise a lot of people in that B block.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some sort of power struggle in Bullet Club with essentially three leaders, with Jay White, Evil, and then Kenta. I think it's going to be fun, and I've got a feeling that Kenta's going to win the block and kind of like cement his status as a leader of Bullet Club.
I think
as someone who is still relatively new to New Japan,
you've had plenty of time to catch up now. There's absolutely no reason why New Japan World is like £7 a month, Max.
I am, if I may, Mr. Mags, I'm saying compared to the two of you, I am still relatively new to New Japan.
That's fair.
Can I say I don't see why you're so excited?
No, you may not say that and take those words very much back.
It's only because I wanted to say them to Chris on Talk About Good Cop Bad Cop last week, but I didn't have the guts or Conrad to wind up. So, if you wanted me to pick a winner from it, it's Evil.
Absolutely not.
He is now a double strap champion in the past. So he, why not?
It's just no. I mean, anything's possible.
After the year you've had, Evil coming up and ruining Conrad Summer.
Yeah, but that was literally just Gedo rolling the dice, but using the very limited resources that he had just to build up a little bit of buzz. Historically, new champions don't last long anyway, and then they have to kind of work their way back to a title reign. They don't usually do it straight away by winning the G1. I mean, it is possible. I can't say it's not possible, but in that group, there are, in that block, there's at least three or four people I'd put before I'd put Evil.
I mean, I personally want to see Zack Sabre Jr. win it.
I'm on the fence with Zack only because he's now back in the tag division with Tachi. Usually, the winners are people who are single stars. So, I'd love to see him do it. I just don't think he will. For me, I mean, it's Kenta or maybe Sanada.
I'm getting much more familiar with names now. You see, so I'm much more in tune with it. Now, to be fair, they do some bloody nice stuff. They really do New Japan. They're quickly becoming my eighth favorite promotion in the world. I'm saying that. Of course not. To be fair, they are probably my second favorite promotion to watch.
That's
my praise.
Behind NXT. Yeah.
That is high praise.
So I'm very happy about if. I think Zack Sabre Jr. win Block B, and let's go with Suzuki to win Block A.
Again, another possible one. For me, I think I'd go in the Block A for Shingo. I think him dropping the Never title, that's usually when you're making a move up. And I think this competition is the perfect time to put him headfirst into a big title picture. I think I'd go with Shingo winning Block A, possibly Kenta in Block B. I would not be surprised if we didn't get a Jay White and Kenta final, to be fair. That would still be a really interesting final. What I did really enjoy, though, was the build-up for Suzuki versus Tachi. Tachi looking like he may be challenging for the leadership of Suzuki-gun. Interesting.
We can't be having Taichi-gun this soon, though.
Yes, we can. Taichi-gun over Sabre-gun all day.
Conrad, now you're... Now you're closer to the mask. Who's winning A and B?
I'm going to say Jay and Sonata, just because it was slated to be the New Japan Cup final. I don't think we got the proper conclusion to that feud. And I think Jay was kind of my pick to win. But like, if he was in the country, now he is. I did originally have Tanahashi to win to prove to Ibushi that he could still kind of hang with the best of them. But no, I think Jay and Sonata. And I think Jay wins it. And I think maybe Ospreay and potentially Shingo or Suzuki are the briefcase defenses, because I think that just shows that they've got, like, they value them as kind of wrestlers. And normally, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Evil won. If Evil won the whole thing, because at least then, like, he's broken free of LIJ and he's done all this stuff, and he's the first guy to win the New Japan Cup and the G1 in the same year. So it's a it's very, very interesting field. It's not, I don't think it's as clear cut as it was, like, say, last year or like G1 28 or whatever.
Okay.
You're right. Yep.
There's
technically four or five winners in each block.
Which is fantastic, of course. Now, for the people who are a little bit slow, that being me, remind us, /me, what the winner of the G1 gets.
Yeah, the winner of the G1 gets a briefcase, kind of like the Money in the Bank, but that briefcase guarantees them a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom. Now, on the way to Wrestle Kingdom, that briefcase has to be defended. I don't think anybody, now Conrad will probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody's ever lost control of the briefcase.
No, they haven't.
Okay. But yeah, so essentially the winner of the G1 faces the current champion at Wrestle Kingdom. If the current champion is the winner of the G1, he gets to pick his opponent. I think that's right.
Right, then, well, that is something I will be checking out because I am. Well, it's time for the SJ one, in my opinion.
It is possible. It really is possible. I just think with him being back in the tag division, that kind of rules him out for me.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I look forward to proving me wrong.
No. I reckon Zach pins Naito at least because it'll be Zach and Goto that pin Naito and then like Sanada beats him, so he's got that tiebreaker.
And also, we always get a Yano pinning a champion but never getting his title shot. So Yano is definitely going to pin Naito.
No, oh, not again.
I am the table! Okay, Mags.
Ooh,
turn to talk at the tables.
So I've got quite a few topics. I know Conrad's just taken the G1 block, so I'll delete that now. But I've got a couple regarding All Out. Okay. Now you mentioned the Matt Hardy one on Good Cop Bad Cop with Chris. So I'll steer away from that one a little bit. I'll go with good old JR. Jim Ross.
No.
Now, Jim Ross is a funny old fella, isn't he? The voice of my wrestling childhood. Just remember those words. This guy was wrestling for me back in the Attitude Era, and now he's the most cringy announcer in wrestling. It's just horrific. So for context, in the Casino Battle Royal match, Anna Jay got involved in the ring. She was adjusting her top, and Jim Ross said, "Did Anna Jay just have a wardrobe malfunction, or is that just me wishful thinking?" After the year we've had with speaking out and the kind of scorn on sexualizing female wrestlers, the biggest name in wrestling commentary sexualized a female wrestler. And then he doubled down after receiving a lot of grief about this. He doubled down with an apology on Twitter. Basically saying he made an error of judgment with the wardrobe malfunction. It was a bad joke. Sorry. Now lighten up. So really, not sorry at all. Just basically stop complaining about it, you snowflakes. It's just horrible. He's every time you hear his voice, he kills his kind of legacy of what he did in this business. And yeah, it's just I dislike listening to him, which I never thought I would ever be able to say in wrestling.
As someone who grew up watching like Tyson, that sort of stuff, it resounds for your ears. I mean, JR was one of the best commentators. I mean, as someone who dreams about being a commentator for sport in general.
I thought you were going to say your dreams about being JR then.
Well, I wouldn't have minded the money he had back in the day, or being able to commentate on the main event of WrestleMania 17 and every WrestleMania he ever did, and that Hell in a Cell match, obviously. But when they signed JR to AEW, Cody Rhodes was asked, "Why did you sign him?" And he said, "It's Jim fucking Ross." I'm like, yes, it was Jim fucking Ross. Problem is that Jim Ross hasn't moved on. Everything that you said, Mags, is exactly how I feel. I mean, I've said for a while that he should have retired after Jan died, unfortunately. He should have just retired, and you know, no one would have had a bad word to say about him, sort of thing. But he's carried on going, and he's not only made mistakes on commentary, he's made offensive comments on commentary. Mm-hmm. Some things which you've seen people be fired for in other companies. I mean, Jerry Lawler has basically been relegated to the pre-show panel because after making a joke, which some people said, was it a joke? Was it in bad taste? Personally, I thought it was bad taste. But that's just my personal opinion. Some people could have, might have liked the joke that Jerry Lawler said. They're idiots, they are. Conrad, what's your thoughts on JR?
Oh, it's just... First off, it's just sad to see how far he's kind of fallen from being, like, one of the best announcers in the world, like, just, like, 10, 15 years ago, and now he's kind of... He's so out of touch. And I really hate to say it, because JR was kind of... He's got such... I feel like his voice defined a generation of wrestling for a lot of people. And just... The fact that it's kind of people forgive him, and there are a lot of people on Twitter that were kind of, oh, but he's JR, he can say what he wants, and it was just a joke, and like the snowflake generation and stuff, and making like ruining stuff. And it's like, well, no, but like, as you said, Max, like the whole speaking out thing, it was like, and someone pointed out that Anna Jay is literally, oh, she's old enough, well, JR's old enough to be her granddad.
Yeah, she's and 22.
Which is like, it's just weird, and it kind of carries on JR's kind of bad track record, not just making these comments, but kind of, I feel he's kind of lost it as a commentator. I do agree with what you said, Matt. I think he should have just retired a while ago and kind of kept that legacy intact. But I feel that like this week to week, and it's just constant like slip ups or kind of not taking things seriously, or making like even his apology, I feel it kind of undermined what he did. Mm-hmm. Because he was like, he apologised, and then he did, oh, it's like lighting up then, and it's like, well, that kind of defeats the object of everything that you've just said. But yeah, it's sad to see, and I do hope just so he gets some sort of legacy when he hangs it up, that he does hang it up soon, because I think Excalibur and maybe Tony Schiavone, if they want to keep him around, then I think those two can kind of carry it, and JR can move backstage and help out there.
See, what do you think of my suggestion about him being replaced with the free agent that is Renee Young as the lead commentator?
I think Renee fits better into hosting. I think she said that's where her talents weren't used in WWE. I feel that could kind of be a role. I think Veda Scott, if they're looking for a female commentator, she did really, really good in her appearance a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I think Mauro Ranallo is a good shout. I don't like Taz's commentary at all. As a wrestler, I used to think he was amazing, but he's so salty. He's so salty. Every comment he makes is bashing the WWE, and I get it. Yeah, you left under unhappy terms, but you left about 6 months ago. You've been working for AEW now for 6 months. It's so weird. I like Schiavone. I think he's adds an air of class to the commentary. I like Excalibur, although sometimes he doesn't kind of get the moves names right, but he does have a lot more knowledge about the current product than JR does. I personally don't think a three-man booth really works that well. I think if they just had Schiavone and Excalibur, I think it'd work a lot better. And like Conrad said, have JR backstage, perhaps doing kind of the kind of special interviews that like the ones he did with Moxley, or even just as talent relations, which is what he was essentially doing in WWE. Just having because he still brings a benefit to the company. I don't think he brings a benefit to commentary.
Yeah, the commentary side of things, he should leave to the current generation. Which one would you have as the lead, though? Excalibur, the colour commentator, I'm guessing?
Excalibur is the play-by-play. Because he knows the moves more. And have Tony Schiavone as the colour.
I can see it working, to be fair. So would love to have seen... I sound like I hate on AEW a lot. I don't mean to. But I wanted this to work for JR. I really, really did.
He needed it. He needed it.
But at the same time, it's not really working for him. It's not too late to hang things up, though. Not too late. But we'll have to wait and see if he hangs up the microphone, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I am the
table! Right, so it's my turn then now, is it? Okay.
Certainly is.
Okay. We'll talk about a subject. I'm going to put a subject out there, which I know Comrade is a bit salty about, so...
Is it not being able to use his pool because of the adverse weather conditions?
The adverse weather is fine. It's been beautiful in Essex. Anyway, the question I've got is, I believe it is this week, return of NXT UK from the BT Studios in London. Conrad is a very big sigh here. And I saw your tweets and your apps, and I want you to load both barrels, sir. I want you all to tell me what you think about the return of NXT UK. Conrad, please go ahead.
I think I don't think WWE have been this tone deaf in a while. Pretty much like a couple of weeks after speaking out, it's like, oh yeah, guys, we're back and everybody's quarantined. And it's like, well, yeah, but you've still got a bunch of abusers on your roster. You haven't properly addressed the allegations against said abusers. Yeah, let all the free people go when the accusations were like, when everybody was coming out and saying stuff. And then, like, I don't think they're letting Brit Rest have that time to kind of recover and rebuild, because at the end of the day, it's the same NXT UK branding, and it's the same kind of, they've made all of five roster cuts, I think.
Mentioned.
They haven't addressed Wolfgang, who was accused of sending indecent images to schoolgirls or taking pictures of schoolgirls. They haven't properly addressed the allegations against Jordan Devlin for his domestic abuse. Obviously, they released Travis Banks, they released Liguero, and they released a referee as well for some kind of misconduct. But yeah,
Your coffee.
No. Oh, he's the worst one for it. One of the worst on that roster that hasn't been addressed. And it's just kind of, I feel it kind of continues that cycle of abuse, and it kind of, as the kind of face of wrestling for a lot of people, WWE is kind of the number one company that should really be setting an example and kind of saying, well, we're not going to stand for this. And then maybe I think people would be a bit more open to this return, because the setup looks cool. Yeah, granted. And there are a lot of wrestlers that haven't done anything wrong, and they kind of deserve to get paid for good stuff. It's just that kind of those bad apples that are, well, I hate saying like bad apples, but yeah, that's what it is. And it's just, it's kind of putting a real dampener on this return. I think they should have left it till the start of next year, at least, where they could like reassess and kind of shuffle things around and get rid of those people that were kind of given just shouldn't have a place in wrestling anymore after these allegations have come to light.
Mm. I know Joe Coffey has been suspended, which that's all they have said on the matter. But that's there's been no progress on that since the end of June. But according to the roster, he is still inactive, suspended. Wolfgang, there's no mention of that at all, unfortunately.
And he's the current champion.
He's the current NXT Tag Team Champion, yes. But Joe Coffey has been suspended for at least until I've been investigated. So you're right, they need to do more, obviously. There must be a reason they haven't suspended Wolfgang. I can't understand why that is. I'm very uneasy about the whole thing, of course. In one aspect, yes, I like the action of NXT UK. I like some of the stories on NXT UK. And I like the fact that it's going to be in the BT Sports studio. I like all of that. I like everything about that. But that's the good stuff, unfortunately. the bad, to coin a phrase I'm using for the next week and a half when I'm running on my own, it feels tainted still.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do, Conrad, to get you back on side?
Well, they do what they should do, what every company should be doing, and that is like formally assessing everybody on that roster and kind of doing, to my knowledge, WWE haven't kind of mandated DBS checks for any of their talent like all the rest of the, I know it's a different kind of kettle of fish, but they haven't mandated DBS checks for all the talent. They haven't done anything to kind of address these allegations. And I feel that is literally the first step they need to do, like making sure it's a safe working environment and you're not promoting predators on your roster. And I feel that's what's turned me off NXT UK, because they're still featuring Velveteen Dream. Even that, like, yeah, he found a loophole in the law. The thing is that basically says, oh, I'm guilty, but you can't fire me because this law says that you can't. So it's very bad. And yeah, all they need to do is just get rid of those abusers and kind of look at what they're doing and make it a good environment.
I suspect when it comes down to regards to the Velveteen Dream, they may just let that contract expire rather than renew it. Mags, any idea, are you echoing our Lord?
Yeah, I've missed NXT UK. I really enjoyed it as a concept, and it was good. For what it did to Britress, which I kind of foreshadowed when it first came out, and it kind of did ring true. It was an interesting UK based product, and it's good that the biggest company in the rest of the world has kind of like has give that spotlight for UK wrestling. But I have to go along with everything that you both said, that this means nothing when you're talking about people who have been accused of some horrendous things towards female talent and fans. It's just so grimy. It just makes you kind of like the hair stand up on the back of your neck. How quickly WWE will brush allegations under the carpet if the talent is marketable. I mean, we've seen it with Velveteen Dream. He's obviously a hugely talented wrestler and was well on his way of being a big star, and his allegations got brushed under the carpet because of that. Matt Riddle, his allegations got brushed under the carpet because he's looking to be one of the next future stars of the main rosters. With the likes of Jordan Devlin, a huge push behind him. He was the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. And then the allegations have kind of been brushed under the carpet. It just seems that if you're a big name and WWE see some sort of saleability in you, you can get away with a lot of things. And that's the whole point of the speaking out movement. It was to get rid of that horrible core in wrestling where it was everything was brushed under the carpet, and the boys didn't talk out of school, and people got away with stuff. And yeah, it's just returning to that kind of issue, and I don't like it whatsoever. And it taints, just as Conrad said, it taints a product that we as Brits should be proud that WWE have given us, and we just can't be. It's sad. I dare say I will watch it just because, like I said, I've missed it, but I don't know how long I'll stick around if I'm seeing these people who were essentially predators being able to be on the show. Kind of like Conrad, watching NXT when Velveteen Dream's wrestling, it's a very jarring experience. You don't want to enjoy it, and you don't enjoy it because you know that this guy has essentially groomed children. It's a horrible feeling. So yeah, I think taking more time, being more clear about what kind of punishment you're giving these talents, and like Aaron said, a system in place to help weed future instances of this out would have gone a long way to kind of repairing some of the issues that people have with wrestling, especially Brit wrestling.
It's not too late to act on it still. They can still act on it and get rid of it. They can do it. And that thing is, the longer it takes to do it, the longer it's going to take to rebuild the trust with people like Conrad. Especially seeing as Conrad...
I was just about to say, if you look at like Progress, and they were one of the big companies that were kind of named as part, kind of like enabling that kind of abuse, and then they kind of... Look at how quickly they turned it around, though. And they have kind of started to build the trust back, and they're completely rebranding. They've let in, like, the old management have gone and the new management has been brought in, and it's more inclusive. They've got a manifesto, and they've got, like, a whistleblowing policy, and that is how you regain trust, and you're completely transparent. NXT UK, all they need to do, literally, hard reset. Don't call it NXT UK anymore. Call it NXT Europe, because that fits the bill better. And then you outline on your website clear, like, and you really promote the fact that you're doing stuff to kind of prevent this abuse, and like, you're kind of stopping this from happening again. And then, because you're the industry standard, then everybody else follows suit, because there are companies like RevPro who continue to book Ospreay and Priestley, and to my knowledge, ICW up in Scotland are doing the same, and they're to my knowledge, they're still kind of promoting these abusive talents. And yeah, as soon as the big dog decides that they're going to make a change, then everybody else will follow suit, because they don't want to look bad, in my opinion.
And obviously, as a aspiring professional wrestler yourself, Conrad, you obviously keep a close eye on all of this. I dare say you report back your findings.
Absolutely.
Right.
Our roving reporter.
No.
In the field.
Absolutely. Table. Okay, Conrad, it's time for you, sir, to talk at the table.
Oh, the 2 weeks of whiz by. Has Payback happened yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was literally the week after SummerSlam.
Yeah. We were talking about it on the night of the last show.
Okay, so it happened after we recorded.
It happened that night, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't get any closer to the limit, but yeah, it happened in the last 2 weeks.
It happened in the last 2 weeks,
yeah. Oh, this happened on Raw, and this was quite cool. but so, I thought it was really cool.
Something cool on Raw from a WWE hater? Go ahead, Conrad.
I know, yeah. Cedric Alexander joining the Hurt Business is... I was so shocked, but I also kind of thought it was like the coolest thing ever, because like, obviously they're gaining momentum, the Hurt Business are, and I feel that adding Cedric,
Max, James Brown isn't it coming.
James Brown's not bland. I think you mean Stevie Wonder.
Yes, that is what I meant. Yes.
Oh my god.
That's saying it. Continue, Conrad, sorry. Cedric Alexander. Okay.
Yeah, I think that kind of the push that everybody's kind of been expecting from Cedric, well, for Cedric after that kind of 3 week push that he had like years ago, it seems at this point. But I thought this kind of shows that they are interested in Cedric as a potential megastar, just like they are with Shelton Benjamin. They seem to be interested in him again just by his inclusion, and I feel that WWE are kind of making good moves to kind of build new stars and like do interesting things that are keeping people. I feel that Vince is actually going to stick to his word on this and kind of actually say, well, we're going to build new stars now. We're going to do cool stuff that's going to get people talking. And I feel that they're kind of they're going more in depth into social media rather than just seeing it as, oh, people are talking about our show. They're actually looking at what's being said so they can kind of adapt to the changes and make the changes that they need to, which, yeah, it's good. I'm excited to see what Cedric does. And obviously, Keith Lee, just his existence is just glorious. But, yeah, do you think WWE kind of
Bobby Roode, who's glorious.
Okay, Keith Lee is the greatest thing in WWE right now.
It's limitless.
Yes, it was right there. But would you say that they're making the right changes, like the right moves to kind of keep people invested and bring people back that may have dropped off?
Max, do your decision on that one. I've watched week in, week out for the last 20 years, pretty much. So I can't actually say if it will draw me back, whereas you've dipped in and out over the years. So would it put you back?
I've been more interested in the main roster since the likes of Thunderdome, since the likes of Retribution, since the likes of Raw Underground. I've even been more interested in Roman Reigns since he got his kind of like badass edge to him. I like the way that they've pushed Jey Uso into the main picture, which, I mean, I know Jey Uso was already a star, but that kind of like that breaking through that glass ceiling almost to get into the main title pictures, I think is a great thing. Dominic Mysterio has been a pretty much a revelation for someone who I didn't really give him a chance because I just felt it may be kind of a legend wanting his son to be a wrestler, kind of like almost David Flair style. But I think he's done really well to pick up the art of wrestling. I like what they're doing with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. I think they made good stars out of those two. I think WWE are slowly kind of realizing the promise that they made of building new stars. I just don't think they kind of get the credit with it, especially on wrestling Twitter, because wrestling Twitter just wants to whinge. Wrestling Twitter just wants to mourn. But yeah, there is people in those spots who are definitely looking to be big stars in the future. The likes of Angel Garza coming, he's really rose through the ranks from 205 Live all the way through NXT, now onto the main roster. So they are making new stars, and they're kind of using the stars that they've got to kind of help elevate it. Look at Randy Orton, biggest heel in the business today, probably. And he's being used to elevate Keith Lee. I think it's a great move. I think WWE are doing well on creating new stars.
So you're talking about Mysterio there, Dominic Mysterio, of course. Mm-hmm. Were you worried that he was going to be just, as Conor would say, a spot monkey?
I was more worried he was going to go down like a fart in church, like he couldn't wrestle worth a damn. Kind of like how David Flair when he started wrestling, or kind of like Garrett Bischoff in TNA, where it was just getting in the business through the family name. But he's really put the effort in. The matches he's had with Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy have been for someone who's been in the business as short a time as him. They've been really, really good matches. I've really enjoyed them. I enjoyed his matches at SummerSlam and at Payback. I think he's definitely got a bright future in the sport, although I don't think Rey Mysterio is his real dad. I think his real dad may be Volta.
That's the next stage of his evolution.
Oh, well, he goes from being a Guerrero to a Mysterio to Volta. That's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying. I do get what they've done with regarding that. I mean, speaking about Mandy Rose as well, did you see what she put out on Twitter?
No.
I'm going to quote her tweet because I screenshotted it in case it got taken down. She tweeted this because obviously it was announced on Talking Smack that she'd been traded to Raw, of course. Okay, Mandy Rose at WWE Mandy Rose. You dirty bastard. 3 weeks. It took 3 weeks to find out why I was on SmackDown. And of course, it's because of you, Mike. I had a career moment, some of them, to not be on SmackDown and you just drop it on Talking Smack like it's nothing. You affect my career and my time. So you think you could try to stop Otis from succeeding? This is how you use your pull. Wow. Yeah, apparently. And there are 7 days in a week and me and Mr. Money Bank are tired as ever. I think Mandy needs to go to Raw just to freshen up, get some new rivalries going in general. I'm going to talk about that more in a little bit. Does Otis need Mandy, though, on SmackDown?
We as fans need some sort of conclusion to that story. That can't be the end of it. And I like the way that she's been traded, but they're keeping it as a storyline. We're blaming The Miz, because Miz and Morrison have both been trying to steal Otis's contract. So I'm glad that they're using a storyline. Maybe this is going to kind of reverse the kind of fly by the seat of your pants booking of giving Otis the briefcase in the first place. And they're going to get Mandy back on SmackDown or Otis over to Raw to trade in the contract. The Miz has used his pull to get Mandy traded, can he use his pull to kind of swap her being traded back for the contract for a title shot? Because as much as we all love Otis, he's a international treasure, he's not someone who you would see in the title picture, is he? He's not going to be facing... You would see him in the title picture?
Yes.
Then
no.
Absolutely not. Which title? Okay, then which would you see him up against Drew on Raw, or would you see him up against Roman on SmackDown? Absolutely not.
I see him cashing in on Randy after Clash of Champions.
No, I don't see it in the slightest. I think this is booking to get that contract and get that briefcase off Otis.
You all laughed when I said Otis would win Money in the Bank. He won Money in the Bank. You all laughed when I said Otis was going to beat Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania. He beat Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania. He is going to become the WWE champion by beating Randy Orton at Clash of Champions.
No, but it's been reported that Vince doesn't want him to cash in. I think I'd rather have someone like John Morrison, who is like proven elsewhere that he can be a world champion. He's like,
or Miz. Miz has not been in the world title scene for a long, long while.
And rightly so. Right.
Yeah. Miz is there another run at the top, I think.
Absolutely, yes. Of course.
Then let him have a run at someone else. I don't know, maybe the Universal Champion. But no. He doesn't get it there by taking my boy's lunchbox, which sounds really, really bad saying that way. But in fairness, he keeps it in the lunchbox.
Andy bit it as well.
Mm.
And also, people zoomed in on the contract, and the contract expired in 2015.
The prop contract. Terrible. Okay. But yeah, comment absolutely right. We have got to talk a little bit there. But absolutely right. Monday Night Raw has been fantastic with some great stuff from Cedric Alexander as well. With regards to the Hurt Business itself, do we see that getting even bigger, that group? Who would you add to it?
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a predominantly like African American stable. So who?
It's cool.
Who? Yeah, absolutely, it's cool. But who fits in with that? I don't really want, unless you're going to go for like faction wars, I don't really want like a 6-7 man faction kind of running roughshod over Raw. So I think there's enough in there now.
I'm thinking, what about maybe adding a lady to it? Maybe Naomi? Hmm.
Possibly. I've heard rumblings that Naomi's looking to move down to NXT.
Ooh, oh, that would be interesting. That'd be interesting.
It would certainly refresh her character. I mean, she's definitely not getting what she's due on the main roster. And matches like her against Rhea, her against Eeyore, Candice LeRae, Shotzi Blackheart. There's some good feuds down at NXT for her.
Absolutely. I am the table! Okay, Mags, talk at the table, sir.
Well, we spoke a little bit about Otis and Mandy. Mandy being traded to Raw, Otis stuck firmly on SmackDown. But that's not the only split recently in WWE. They've kind of gone through a very much a splitting spree. We've had the Iconics being made to split up.
Which made me laugh my bollocks off.
Well, that would have insulted any potential guest that we would have had on, wouldn't it? So
yes, I have. I have DM'd him multiple times. And then Matt, he didn't want to come on the show.
But we've also seen Alexa turn on Nikki. We've seen Sasha and Bayley crumble. What do you think the WWE are playing at, splitting people up all of a sudden?
And mainly women's tag teams, for that matter.
Oh, pretty much 7 out of the 8 that I've mentioned are women, and then one is a cute, cuddly, hairy man.
Ah, a little bit of that, Mag. It's fine. come on, after you, sir.
Well, it is a bit of a confusing one. Because if we all thought that kind of the Bayley Sasha thing would kind of elevate those belts back to, you know, where they were when they first kind of started. I think they rushed into the split a little bit because people on Twitter were moaning it was being dragged out too long. I saw so many like a load of people when Bayley and Sasha were like out just before the split, and they're like, oh, but it's good. They've dragged it out for months now. It has to end soon, and it's like, well, it's part of the problem why we don't get long term stories. But I think it's confusing unless they're going to kind of like merge the women's tag division, like, and kind of. So that's kind of like the only solution. Otherwise, those belts are kind of gone. I don't even know who holds them. Shayna and Nia, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, none of the former women's tag team champions are together now. Iconics split. Alexa and Nikki split. Sasha and Bayley split. Kairi gone to maybe set up NXT Japan. There's no other female tag teams. Who is there? I mean, the Riot Squad, pretty much.
And they're like the only ones that actually look like a team. Because they come out in the gear. Yeah, look, it's great seeing teams come out like in the same gear to the same music rather than like a bit of a jumbled mess. But unless they're people from NXT or whatever. But even then, there's not a lot of people. You had like, who was there in NXT? Or NXT UK?
There's Tegan Nox. She's been teaming with Shotzi Blackheart a lot recently, but she's been dragged into Candice LeRae's kind of cult-like status now. There's Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, but that's more like a kind of a Wardlaw and MJF kind of partnership. Mm. Yeah, there's no actual women's tag teams. None.
Unless you want Natalya and Lana as, you know, your women's tag champions, and I think I'll speak for everyone when I say nobody wants that.
I would sooner because they have Bertha not been Faye. Good. I would sooner have Bertha Faye and Bull Nakano. Yeah, I know, right. But we can't have them all. Anyway, you talk about dragging this out, of course, Conrad. They've been dragging this out because so long, me and Graham talked about Bayley and Sasha, are they going to split them up or not on Good Cop, Bad Cop, Episode 1? We just recorded 107.
Wow. Which, so 2 years.
Over 2 years. We've been waiting for them to split them up. If you want something dragged out, then get Sasha and Karen to do it.
I mean, when the storyline was starting where Sasha was kind of the submissive, I did feel that it was played out, but they really dragged me into the storyline. I think it was the most interesting storyline on the main roster, and now I feel that they've broken up too soon. I think this is a feud that's worthy enough to potentially headline a WrestleMania, and I think it should have been dragged out to last till WrestleMania. I mean, potentially you can still do that now if Sasha moves to Raw. She wins the Rumble, comes back and challenges Bayley, but I think it loses a lot of the heat that they've built up over these last few months. I would have liked to have seen them regain the titles and Sasha continue being like almost kind of degraded by Bayley to the point where she did win the Rumble and then challenged her best friend to become Sasha Two Belts. I think that would have worked a lot better, but let's just see where they go with it. It's, apparently Sasha's going to come out this week and kind of address getting beat up by Bayley. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I think keep Sasha off TV completely. I wouldn't even have her come out on this week. I'd keep off TV now, have her return by surprise at the Royal Rumble, win the damn thing, challenge Bayley at WrestleMania, and be the main event of night one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it will be too like next year again, because let's face it, WWE like money.
And that's a 7-year program since the NXT the Ironman match.
And what the perfect way is to headline the main event of WrestleMania night one, then with another with a 120-minute Iron Man match.
2 hours.
They could do that. It would be the first ever one, and I guarantee it would probably be like 18 falls to 19. because what Vince does. Comrade, are you going to say something, Comrade?
Yeah, I think they should kind of, rather than having Sasha kind of, well, yeah, absolutely keep her off TV for a bit, but rather than having her come back as the boss and kind of with the blue hair and like the flamboyance and stuff, like, let her have this time off to kind of repackage and stuff and like come back as like this new fresh character that, like, I think a few people have kind of gotten bored of the whole boss, like the boss shtick, and like, yeah, cool, it was cool for a while, but then I thought this is where Bayley has been so successful, because she kind of, after a while, she kind of recognised that the kind of hugger stuff was kind of starting to show signs of wearing thin. Mm-hmm. And I feel if Sasha comes back as the boss, then maybe the feud doesn't have as much heat. But if she comes back like completely new, completely rejuvenated, and then like it's a new Sasha against like a ruthless Bayley, I think that can really be a good story heading into Mania. And then I would buy an Iron Man main event, maybe an hour rather than two, and kind of have him go.
I'll take like a bit out 2 hours, but yeah. I think that there's a lot of legs in that. Of course, the only problem is that you need McMahon likes to shout down, "It's bath time, damn it! It's bath time!" and get Michael repeat over and over, of course. Which I get, but maybe it's time to bury the boss and have a new gimmick. Maybe have wear something like bright red hair, forget how to wrestle, and call herself Eva. Then she might have a whole new gimmick.
Oh, that's horrific.
Sasha Banks is the new Eva Marie.
How dare you put some respect on Sasha Banks' name?
Right, okay. That's brilliant, right? I am the table! Right, okay, so next subject for me, for you guys to talk about, is, in the same vein, actually, this is carrying the conversation, pretty much. I want to talk about the depleted SmackDown Women's Division. I mean, who's left on SmackDown, women's-wise? You've got Bayley at the moment. Sasha is potentially on the shelf because of the storyline. So you're left with Nikki Cross, who's going to be the permanent challenger to Bayley title, it seems. Mm-hmm. She could great match with her, so that's fine. Alexa Bliss, who is the most interesting female character on SmackDown at the moment.
But she's going to be Sister Abigail, it looks like.
Which they've been touting for the last 4 or 5 years. And of course, you've got, who else you got on SmackDown? This is Balor. You've got Tamina and Naomi. And that's it, isn't it? Lana. No, not Lana. Lacey Evans. So, yeah, you look at all the other people. Everyone else is now on Raw. Everyone.
Well, there is somebody been doing some teasing vignettes to come back to SmackDown. Or come to SmackDown. It's clearly Carmella. 100% it's Carmella, but we don't know it's Carmella. What roster is like Ember Moon on? Is she not on SmackDown?
She is injured indefinitely. In fact, it's like mainly career ending.
Jesus. So yeah, it's very, very threadbare. Yeah, we're going to be seeing a lot of Nikki Cross versus Bayley over and over and over again.
I don't mind seeing it like every now and again sort of thing, but you know, we're meant to be done with the whole repeat challenger sort of thing.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
at least they can do a good match.
I think it's going to balance out because the rumored draft is happening in early October, and it's going to involve all three brands this time. So maybe we'll see a lot of movement in the female division. By God, they need it.
Shotzi is SmackDown. That'd be a fantastic one for SmackDown.
I don't see her kind of. I think she could wrestle on any of the brands. I just think that character is very much an NXT character. I know it was a character on the Indies, but it was almost like it was primed to be an NXT character. I don't know how well that would translate up to a main roster.
I want to see her drive an actual tank into the Thunderdome. An actual tank. Drive right down the ramp. That'd be so funny.
It would.
That's the main mention, though, isn't it? Come on, Red. Is SmackDown's women's division doomed to more Nikki? Play with Nikki! Hell, my accent is getting worse for the week.
What? Your accent's hurt. You sound more like you're having a stroke when you do your accents.
And I'm part Scottish as well, go figure.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough, no. So, is it doomed, Conrad? Is SmackDown's also doomed as it is, the women's division, and let till the draft, at least?
I think I'd say so, yeah. Because I think Naomi is in a confusing position, even though, you know, she pinned Bayley, so she really should have a championship match at this point. Mm-hmm. But hey, it looks like she's been kind of forgotten about again, which sucks. I think they can't rush into it with Alexa. Lacey Evans, I don't think she's quite there yet as like a champion kind of material. I think Tamina's, she's okay, but I don't buy her as a champion kind of thing. It's kind of one of those
To be fair to Tamina, I really enjoyed the kind of vignette she was doing where she was having therapy and she was trying to be nice. But again, it was WWE kind of used that 3 or 4 week build up for it to just be fed to Bayley, and then you hear nothing from her again. It's weird.
Isn't that like the issue though with like a year long title reign like Bayley's had pretty much, and there's only like with like a kind of more shallow talent pool than like the men's roster, which still feels kind of weird to say, but like if you've got like a limited talent pool, we saw. The same thing like over in New Japan with Will Ospreay. Like once Bayley loses that championship, there's only like that one person who's beat her that is like viable, because like at the end of the day, they've ran through the entire division, and especially like, if there's tons of rematches, it's like Bayley and Nikki Cross. So if Nikki Cross loses again, I feel that she hasn't got much credibility until like she goes into that feud with the inevitable feud with Alexa Bliss, and then she's going to lose again because it's like this is an interesting new character and Alexa can't lose. But yeah, until the draft, they need to be doing something. It's a weird situation that they're in, but I think the draft will really, really help.
With that being said, though, do you see Nikki maybe taking the title from Bayley because of Sasha's interference, and then you know? Then they get the title back onto Bayley before Mania?
No, I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't like just Nikki being a transitional champion just to keep her credibility. And it's not the WWE way. They would have no issue dropping Nikki's credibility to forward this Bayley and Sasha storyline. So, no, I think Bayley keeps the title until Sasha takes it off her.
Well, I hear everything you're saying. I'd love to see a Nikki Alexa feud over a title. I'd like to see that personally.
Yeah, I agree. I just think
and then have her
their feud doesn't really need it. I mean, the Sasha and Bayley feud doesn't really need it. It's definitely a blood feud, but I think that it's because it's been built around Sasha two belts or two belts Banks and Bayley DOS straps. It kind of makes sense for that title to be involved in their feud rather than the kind of the blood feud of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
I'd quite like to see Alexa beat Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's Championship, mainly because I want to see if Alexa starts walking around with a Women's Championship which looks like her own face.
Oh. the stands would wet their pants for that title. It'd be the best-selling title belt on God's green earth.
They could charge $25,000 for that, and they'd sell out.
Of course they would.
And then Conrad and me could hate on it on Twitter, as always.
I am the table!
Right, Conrad, have you got just do a quick fire one each. What you got? Talk of a table.
I don't think I've got another one.
I've got two quick fire ones. Yep.
Do two back-to-back, Meg. Go on.
Okay, then. First of all, do you guys read or watch What Culture videos?
I watch certain ones depending on the title.
Conrad?
Depends. So I think I've dropped off, but then some of the videos I do watch, like the list just pop up on my feed sometimes, but yeah.
Okay, so they recently did a video about who the best wrestler in the world today is, and it really just, it got my goat, because I accused What Culture of being AEW fanboys, and they don't even try to hide it anymore. The amount of times they give WWE stick for one thing, but then praise AEW for doing exactly the same thing. Who do you think they called the best wrestler in the world today?
Can I guess my? I'll give my top three in a minute after Conor come.
Okay, is it? I'm saying John Moxley is their number one.
Incorrect.
Is it Chris Jericho?
It's incorrect. They said Cody Rhodes is the best wrestler in the world today. Cody Three Stars is the best wrestler in the world today. Yeah,
it was tragic.
I was gonna say in no particular order: Jericho, Moxley, and Cassidy.
Yeah, but they've got legitimate claims to being maybe not the best wrestler in the world, but very, very good wrestlers. Cody as the best wrestler in the world, in a world where we've got Shingo, where we've got Okada, where we've got Omega, where we've got Suzuki. Cody Rhodes is the best wrestler in the world. Anyway, that was a quick one. Second quick one. Miro is All Elite. And he cut a scathing, disgruntled WWE promo saying that he was sick of being hit on the head by glass ceilings, and he was reaching for the imaginary brass ring, which is bullshit. How do you feel about Miro being All Elite for a start? And secondly, how do you feel about another WWE wrestler coming in with a chip on the shoulder about, with the storyline being that they're a chip on the shoulder about leaving WWE?
Conrad.
Okay, first of all, Miro being All Elite is cool. He's on national telly, and possibly they'll kind of let him kind of do what he does best, and that's like not so serious, maybe a bit more serious at points. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Creative Freedom will do him good. Second, I think they brought him in the wrong way. The disgruntled kind of ex-WWE employee has quickly run thin with the Black Wednesday releases we saw with Brian Myers on Impact, and we've seen it like now with Miro, and obviously FTR were very vocal about their dislike
of the original ones. That was his whole character, that he was disgruntled about leaving WWE.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, okay, cool, be upset about leaving WWE, but then like, don't make it your opening promo. Just say, well, my name is the new name that I've got, and I'm here to show you what I can do. Like, don't just say, oh yeah, but like, old man Vince was holding me back and whatever. It's like, yeah, true as that may be, just prove them wrong then. Don't just whinge about it for clout on Twitter, because you know that they'll just, the AEW kind of diehard will eat that up.
With a fork and a spoon. Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to see that we're going to have, and I guarantee we're going to have Happy Miro Day t-shirts coming out. I guarantee that.
It's the best thing is,
but the thing is, he is not all elite.
How so? Well, no, because his contract allows him to go to New Japan.
He's still working with New Japan, and he's also allowed to do indie dates for people who aren't on TV. So if that's the case, then you are not all elite. Because if you do that, you've got an exclusive contract.
You're part elite and part New Japan and part indie.
And if you ask me, I think personally his style will suit New Japan a lot more. I would personally looking forward to seeing Miro versus Ibushi.
Miro versus Ishii. That's the fact.
That's Miro versus Shingo.
Oh, God.
Okay, I have lost my co-hosts. Oh, dear God. It's going to happen at some point.
I mean, to be fair, I didn't want this to be kind of like a shouting down of Miro. The guy absolutely deserves to be a big star on TV. I'm glad he's in all elite. Honestly, the fact that he's going to be on TV, the fact he's hopefully going to be pushed to the moon, the fact that we might see him in New Japan soon, oh, I'm so glad about that. I'm just getting bored of this. I've come from the WWE and I'm pissed off with them, and that's going to be my character build. I don't get it. It got boring very, very quickly for me.
As I've explained many times, can we get over it already? I mean, yes, you've been mistreated in your mind. Now it's your time to prove wrong. Stop making draw line under it and show what you got now. Like you said, Max, you absolutely nailed it perfectly. Right, now, I had a couple of things I could have discussed for my quick moments. Now, I had the option of trying to justify why in the top 10 of the PWI, Cody Rhodes is number 7, but that's ridiculous. He's ahead of AJ Styles and half of New Japan, but that's going to make comment even more salty. I was going to ask about why people keep comparing AEW to Raw and SmackDown. Now, NXT is on Tuesday. People seriously saying that they beat AEW is the best thing on Wednesday nights. Yes, it's the only thing on Wednesday fucking nights now.
Well, no, football's back now. And by football, I mean hand egg.
Yes, hand egg, of course. But if I actually want to ask you about... I failed to get to it, and now I'm going to get to it. Mags?
Okay.
Mags, we need to discuss this. Man to man, and Conrad, you can be the judge of this, okay? You can actually come down one way or another, okay? Okay, the cracking of the knuckles here. Now listen, okay, if you are a co-host, then you are on the show. Because if you don't class them, then Graham has no shows. Okay? And that was how he worked it out, okay? So by that added, you have more shows than me.
Okay, but then by my way of thinking is, if you produce the shows and you have to put in that work outside of just sitting and talking about whatever the subject is for that amount of time, that is essentially your show because you're the controlling element of it.
Not so, if you aren't the only producer. If you only co-produce it.
Okay, so then that still would warrant that in my favour because I only produce 3, where you produce or co-produce double that.
Not double that.
Okay, so I produce 5 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I produce While We Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I produce Badlands. I am part of this team, which is produced by you.
It is, for now.
I'm part of this team. I'm part
until,
of the team.
At some point, Kyle will do it. It's fine.
I'm the part of the team at Radio Techers, which is produced by Tanner. So I essentially have 3 podcasts, but I'm a part of 5 podcasts.
And 5 nerds go.
Well, no, I'm a victim on that podcast.
Indeed, that was the grab. You talk about so much. Also,
Graham does not decide the rules. Graham is not the master of what counts as you on a podcast.
And let's not forget that you are pretty much the co-host on the Blade Job now as well.
For that one episode that came back and then it disappeared.
He'll be back again.
I'm
sure. He'll be back.
Let's roll through the ones you produce or co-produce. So you've got
But shows that I solely produce first, the ones I solely produce, are this one, Chris's show, and What You Talk About With, which we have done one show in the last 8 months.
Right. But then you also produce Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Co-produce.
Yeah, co-produce still counts. We've discussed this.
That's how counting.
That, the Game Junkies.
Co-produce.
Five.
Then the Game Junkies Dungeons & Dragons Special Editions.
Actually, the last few ones of those have been done by Chad, to be completely honest.
But who did the ones before that?
I did them before that, yeah, but Chad took over recently, yes.
For two episodes?
Oh, more than that, buddy. And Alex is doing his own episodes. I haven't had an episode out for
So how many is that, then, comrade, there, would you say?
I think I counted five.
Is five so you're more equal. Than three?
You also missed
No.
Which you one also... did I miss? I've missed one, see? So he's even admitting it. Because he loves the fact that he does more podcasts. He pretends he doesn't, but he loves the fact because who else would go, oh, yeah, you've missed one to make sure that they win. Which one have I missed?
You missed Chris Talks Games.
There we go. So he wins. I think seven. I think we can count the Dungeons & Dragons one. I think he does seven podcasts.
Hang on.
That's seven to
five.
Seven to three.
I admit defeat.
You wanted to admit defeat because you want to be known as the Podfather. Well, you're not taking that name, Matthew.
I'm not the Podfather. That is you. Just in case you're wondering what I'm doing here, I'm throwing Chris a cable at the moment. Chris's Great Crash, another podcast I'm recording.
Well, Judge, I thought you were in the games room.
I couldn't get in the games room.
Oh, they're giving you grief. They're giving you grief for being a lord and they're, oh, I couldn't get in the games room.
To be fair, we have got a game room. You check it out on Chris's YouTube channel because it's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. Okay, I concede, Mags. Okay, I concede.
With a massive smile on your face, because to you, it's a win.
It is a win, because I get to work with amazing people, like your good self.
You do.
And that's a perfect way to actually lead into bragging about our shit, basically. Conrad, where can people hear about you, talk about you, and actually read the stuff on your amazing website?
It's forgotten.
I hope people aren't talking about me.
Well, do you say like, you were on Simon's podcast last week, of course. So
I was, yeah. That was a lot of fun, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Oh, cheers. But yeah, socials, you can find me at El Compacto New on Twitter. You can follow Chops, Kicks and Near Falls at CK Near Falls. We've got some cool stuff. We'll be streaming the G1 finals on Twitch, like in a watch along, which is cool. You can read stuff at chopskicksandnearfalls.com. And if you like podcasts, which I assume that people listening to this do, you can check out the Dragon Suplex Podcast Network all through at CK Near Falls on Twitter.
Always a good time. Dare I ask, who are you this week, Mags?
Okay, so on Twitter you can follow me at RWGPChrisBFC. I'm going around gallivanting around other people's podcasters, pretending I'm from Burnley when I'm really from Keighley.
Okay, people from America just think you're talking about the wrestler at this point, so.
It's pretty much the only way Keith Lee is known. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kerb. I am on less podcasts than Matt, but more than Conrad. So yeah, go and check them out.
And me Mags may be reaching a bit better, but to be fair, Mags does do a lot of hard work, and he is producing video content as well now. So he is he's come a long way. Seeing as how 2 years ago he hadn't even started podcasting.
I actually spoke with this is a going off topic. I actually spoke with Ray Kasher recently about how you and he basically dragged me kicking and screaming into the world of podcasting by having me guesting on your shows. Yeah, and I don't know if to say thanks or fuck off for it. But yeah, thanks.
Well, I will take it. I will take it as a thanks, and you know, it's all good, and I'm very happy to work with these two every other week. Although I will say, come on, get a fucking haircut. Okay. Your hair's getting longer and longer.
I felt personally attacked about that.
If I rolled up with hell like that, mum would have to tell me to get a haircut. She hates it when my hair gets too long.
I've actually cut my ponytail down.
I can see cut your hair, Meg. You're actually got your social hat this week. Fantastic. Obviously, find me at MattTackUK. Find the show at Talk at Table. As ever, if you don't like what I've said, I'm pretty sure I'll get DM'd about it. All of you guys, thank you for listening. On behalf of myself, Conrad, and Max, we will see you in 2 weeks.
We're out of here.
Bye-bye!
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.